Blog Talk Radio.
I took quarter water, stole it in bottles for $2. And Coca-Cola came and bought it for beans. What the fuck? Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire, I write the check before the baby comes. Who the fuck cares? I'm stanky rich. I'ma die trying to spin this shit. Southside's up in this bitch. Yeah, I smell like the boat. I used to sell dope. I did play the plot, now I play on boats. In the south of France, baby. Sandro paid, get a tan, I'm already black. Rich, I'm already that. Gangster, get a gang. Hit a head in a hat. Call that a little rap shit. Fuck the chit chat. The big gun, bake the bread. The barber, I cut your head. The marksman, I spray the lead. I blood clot, chop your leg. Not fuck with the kid. I get biz with the cig. I can where you live. You dig? I get it. Yeah. I run New York. I get it. You can call this my new shit, but it ain't new though. I got rid of my old bitch, now I got new hoes. First it was the Benzo, now I'm in the Enzo. Ferrari, I'm sorry, I keep blowing up. They call me the cake man, the strawberry shake man. I spread AR, make your whole click break dead. Backspin, headspin, flatline, you're dead then. Nine shells matching, who wanna get it cracking? I was younger, couldn't do good, now I can't do bad. I ride back the new Jag, I just bought a new Jag. Now nigga, why you mad? Oh, you can't do that? I'm so forgetful, they're calling me cocky. I come about the jeweler, they're calling me Rocky. It's the ice on my neck, man, the wrist in my left hand. Bling like blow, you like my style. I'm headed to the bank right now. I get it. Yeah. I run New York. I get it. I get it. Yeah, I run New York.
Yeah, I'm from the top, and I walk the walk. Like a Teflon dog when I run New York. When I come out of court, yeah, I pop the car. I keep it gangsta, how y'all London talk.
I get it.
In the hood, it's gangsta, fuck with it. Tell y'all I'm about my bread.
I get it.
Run the world, it's gangsta, fuck with it. Tell you they love it, yeah.
I get it.
I get it.
Yeah. I run New York. I'm back on the streets, man. I'm bringing the heat, man. I'm on my grind. Like all the time. Trying to stop my shine. I'll cut my nine. Don't get out of line. I said, don't get out of line.
Oh boy. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Hey. How's it going, family?
Hey.
Darius, you on up in here?
Yeah, I'm here. I was watching Versus for that first hour of Trina and Eve. Got the
I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
Really?
I'm looking at it on my TV. I got it on my other phone. Yeah.
Who y'all think got it?
I like both.
Yeah,
I
it's
like
kind
both
of a draw
music.
Kind of night. Yeah. They both look
I
amazing.
I posted up in another group. that Trina gonna tear that ass up?
Nah. Nah. Trina makes club music. Stripper music. Eve is a more roundabout artist.
But, is it
more
but what?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, a more well-rounded artist. You know, she can give you straight hip-hop. She can give you club music. She can give you that crossover. So, and she's pulling out everything out of the bag, from the joint with Gloria Stefani to the joint with DMX. She's giving it all to you tonight. You know, I'm like, okay, but Trina, I mean, Trina's Trina. You know what you're listening to.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
She's the one that... She birthed Cardi B and them. You know what I mean? Wasn't for her, there wouldn't be no City Girls or Meg and none of them. So.
I beg to differ. I think that Cardi B and them, because of Lil' Kim.
They'll tell you this is Trina's bag. The difference with Little Kim is Little Kim talked that talk, but she wasn't about that stripper life. She just was a freak, and she talked that talk. But when it came time to straight up bars, she was real hip hop. She ran with real hip hop dudes. No, Trina was down there with the strippers, stripper kingdoms, with Trick Daddy, the strip master, Trick Daddy. He called Trick Daddy for a reason. City
yeah,
girls, Meg,
not,
all of them, they make stripper music.
This is not versus slash strippers. This is straight up versus who got the best banging song.
Yeah, and Trina can't play nothing but stripper song. that's her bag. You don't watch Love and Hip Hop Miami where all the young girls all bowing, saying we know all these chicks is out because of you. That's her bag.
Them young chicks
don't know
that.
Yeah, they know it because they're right there on the stage with Trick Daddy. And he's telling them, he's like, it wouldn't be no Cardi. It wouldn't be no – even Nicki can slide. See, Nicki is because of Lil' Kim, not Cardi. We can say what we want about Nicki, but I ain't never seen Nicki shove no bottle up her Yahoo. I've never seen it. That's it. Nicki is a spitter. But she goes nasty and dirty because it sells records. Cardi is just, she's a stripper to turn rapper. Jeez. She don't argue that.
Hmm. Wow. Anyway, I don't watch that Love and Hip Hop stuff no more. My bad. So, what's going on with your people? What's going on? This is HubNet News. On Hubman Online Radio, I got my sidekick Darius in the house. Darius, what's going on in your neck of the woods? You know, I took a week fast off of the news. Like I had to take a break, and that was last week. I started back here on Monday, so sure enough, I turned on the news. And you got people up on the airplane just acting that damn fool.
I saw that on my, I think, Instagram, Facebook pages. I said, here we go again.
This is the last place you need to be acting a fool. And the last one I seen was a stewardess or whatever. He worked for the airline. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it started getting worse and worse as they start relaxing the restrictions. It's crazy because Joy Reid did a good piece on it about 2 weeks ago where the Karens are literally going crazy on these airplanes. You know, you saw the video footage of the one who punched the stewardess or the flight attendant, just like cocked her right upside the head.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy. You know, and then the other day, a bunch of dudes had to restrain one guy. It's like, what's going on?
They can put some air marshals back up in the air?
They shouldn't have stopped. I don't understand why they stopped.
Cost.
You know.
No one pay that money.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know what? That's a good question. I'm going to do a little research into that because it's a federal funded thing. That's something that's written into the budget every year. I don't understand why it didn't happen.
My understanding was some years after 9/11 is they wanted the airlines to provide security and police and stuff like that, or pay for it anyway.
Okay.
Like that was overkill to be riding a plane. Plus, for every airline, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of marshals.
Yeah, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It should happen. The federal government
absolutely.
We need some Wesley Snipes.
They got him right. They got him on. They got him on the train still.
Mm-hmm.
Amtrak on Amtrak if you want to. The difference is they can pull. You know, they can pull over into a station and arrest you. You know, arrest you and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they need to bring it back and keep it. The United States like to be reactive, not proactive.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's been a problem like that for years.
When they let their guard down, knowing that the enemy, all kinds of different countries, especially Russia, is watching our ass. Oh, they so involved in politics and shit over there. We about to take down some more planes again. They ain't got no air marshals on the plane. You know, catch us slipping
mm-hmm.
every time.
Hey, real quick, we got a special guest who's going to sit in with us.
Okay. Well, look at what the cat just brought in. Hey, man. What's up, everybody?
Hey.
How's everyone doing?
Hey, Pastor Dante.
Amen on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday evening. Amen. Shout out to HubNet on Online Network. This is the HubNet News. What's popping, my people?
You doing all right? Good things are going on over there at the Jubilee Affair. CME Church acting up. On Sunday morning.
Oh yeah, the Lord is doing His thing, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. You know, I stay out the way. You know, whatever the Lord do, He just do. I stay out the way. I don't want to get caught up in it. So I just say, Lord, do it and use me, and it's a true blessing, true blessing.
Amen.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
It is. So good to hear all of you, your voices, and amen. And I'm just, again, I'm grateful for all of you. And I just, I wanted to stop by and just share some love and perhaps join in on the conversation. Amen. I heard you guys were talking
Absolutely.
About Cardi B and Trina and Eve.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
Out of all of them, I'm just going to say I know
them,
Eve.
All of them are believers.
Mm-hmm.
They believe it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know,
we always talking about the Lord. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to understand that most people have learned that without God on your side, you can't do nothing. You
right.
are nothing.
Especially in the entertainment business. Mm.
Especially within the last year, because we had entertainers, we had music producers, we had everybody dying from this virus. So the virus didn't matter if you were rich or poor. So
mm-hmm.
you know, we've everybody should be falling on their knees, giving God some praise, because I just don't know. I'm just so grateful that I survived it and my family survived it, and you know, those that went on to glory, we mourn them, we remember them, but they're resting in the bosom right now. But you know, those that are here, it's a blessing to be here.
Right. Speaking of which, a good friend of mine, shout out to Reggie and his family, Reginald Flowers and his family. His dad just passed away yesterday from COVID. Not yesterday. What's today? Tuesday from COVID. Monday. Was battling. It just hit him out of the blue. Went to the hospital down here in Texas. Went to the hospital. Said he wasn't feeling good. Tested positive for COVID. They kept him. And he lasted about a week or two. He just passed away. His funeral was this Saturday. So shout out to the Reginald, to the Flowers family, We're praying for you.
Amen.
And I plan to attend the home coming on Saturday to show some love.
Amen.
Yeah, rest
good
peace.
He was 72 years old.
Mm. Young man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yep.
So in the news.
All right, well.
It's going down in the news.
Yeah,
my thing is, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just going to say this part to open up the door. Biden knew. Okay, I'm just going to say two names. Biden, Manchin. I actually think this dude on the low want to be a Republican. And, you know, just like, it's just like the same thing all over again, except we didn't have the Senate and the House at the time when Obama was in there. Why is it that Biden think that, you know, they was going to do him any differently than they did Obama? Okay, the Democrats need to just do what they need to do. He tried to put his best foot forward to try to work with, you know, the Republicans, and they're not going to budge. And what's y'all's take on that?
Well, you have to understand that the Senate's 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And that's number one. And the reality is the Republicans ain't going to work with Democrats anyway, especially when they turn down that January 6th commission, which I think they're going to bring it back up and have an investigation, because I truly believe there's some Republicans involved in it.
Of course. That's why they don't want to have it.
And their names are going to come out.
Yep.
Their phone records are going to come out.
Barr? Oh, yeah. Him
Barr's in trouble. He's in trouble.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Unless something new comes out, there's nothing going to happen to Barr. Okay, there right now. Because the stuff that was happening that they've been reporting on all week wasn't illegal. It was just unethical. It was political. It hurt all that investigating Adam Schiff and all that. A judge signed off on that. That's how they were able to get the subpoenas. Nothing is going to happen to him. He didn't break the law. He just did some tacky things. Unless something new comes out saying that he did break the law. But nothing's going to happen to him. He knew it going out the door. You know, that guy's been attorney general, what, three times for two different presidents?
They was doing some illegal stuff, too, a subpoena in people's records, a phone information,
nope.
Those reporters and stuff
nope.
like that. Senators.
That's not illegal.
How is that not illegal?
It's not illegal. Because a subpoena means the judge signed off on it. It's not illegal. It was unethical.
So the judge need to get
Nope. It's nothing going to happen. And even Adam Schiff and them know it's nothing going to happen. Only person that can take that hit is Trump, because they're trying to build a case against Trump. And what happened was he is using the excuse of there's leaks in the Justice Department. There's leaks of during the impeachment. Somebody's feeding Adam Schiff and all these guys information, and these reporters are reporting. Someone's in my White House talking to reporters. I need to find out who. So they went to a judge and said, hey, this is national security. Someone's leaking government secrets, and a judge signed off on it. So it's not illegal. Even Adam Schiff said this ain't illegal. It's just bad politics. So.
And never found
yeah,
and never
once
found
the judge signed off on it, there's nothing you can do. They didn't found any information. That's the scary, that's the crazy part. They just investigated, and one of the people was a child. So because they were afraid that the person they were looking at was using their kid's phone. So, yeah, it's just crazy. It's bad politics. That's why the Republicans don't want to touch it. They want it to go away because they're gearing up for next year's election.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think, Pastor?
Well, you know, I try to stay out of the political game, but I do know, going back to what Cheryl was saying, and it's going to always be an issue with the Democrats and Republicans, and you know, one side's going to claim to be right, the other side's claim to be right. You know, I think that once we all sit down and focus on, or once they all sit down and focus on the needs of the people, then all this mess will stop. It's a dirty game, Doc. It's politics. It's a dirty game, and the thing is, people will get burned. Some people will get fried, and in the midst of it, you know, there's always a scapegoat. So, whether that scapegoat is right or wrong, there's always one, and it's going to all come out eventually. You know, as you know, what don't come out in a wash, always come out in a rinse, from what my mama always told me. And so it's going to all come to light. Those that are involved in scandals, it's going to come out, and all we can do as people is sit back and start praying that God will send the real leaders that's going to look out for the American people to help us to, you know, get further along in our lives, and help us with, you know, the things that's going on. You know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't get too laxed on that, you know, because it's still there, and it very well could come back even stronger. We just don't know. But through it all, I think that there's some praying that needs to go for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're definitely expecting it to mutate several more times. All eyes are on the South right now, because the South, where those good old Republicans are, who don't want to get vaccinated, they don't want to believe that this is true. Did you guys see the lady that the Republicans brought up to a hearing who said, if you get the vaccination, it's putting something in your body that makes your body magnetized to metal? Did
you
see that last week? She sat in one of the congressional hearings and said, yes, they're experimenting on people. They're putting, you get the shot and you get magnetized to metal. Cory Booker was on an interview later on that night and said, well, I got both of my shots and I don't recall getting magneto powers. I didn't turn for X-Men yet. Where's my powers?
Right.
you know, man.
My 79-year-old mother on Monday went and got the shot, and now, you know, those that know me know that I'm not gonna let my 79-year-old mama show me up. So I went and got the shot with her, and.
All right. Which one did y'all get?
I had we got the Moderna.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
And we didn't have any real big side effects. Had a little scratchy throat, you know, for the first 5 minutes, and then I got real sluggish and tired. But, I mean, you know, sore arm like everybody else, but now I'm good. I mean, you know, that was on Monday. Now today is Wednesday. I'm good. No problems.
All right.
My arm is still just a tad bit sore, but I mean, you know, through it all, I'm good. So I hear a lot about, oh, this is going to do this and it's going to have long side effects. I mean, long lasting. I mean, and it may have. I mean, but you know, so does eating pork. So does eating beef. So does drinking the wrong type of water. So does eating sugar.
Hmm.
So, you know, at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
No, I just feel, I heard a bishop, Bishop Whitehead, older bishop, he was in his late 80s, and he said that he has eaten pork his whole entire life. And he said that he is convinced that God is the giver of life and the taker of life. Because he was always told that if you eat pork all your life, that you were going to be dead by a certain age. He said, and he has been eating pork his whole life, and he's still alive.
Right.
So
right.
I say that to say that no matter if you take this shot and you feel like you're going to die from the shot, listen, God is the giver of life and God is the taker of life. So you don't have to. If it's your time to go, you're going to go regardless of if you take the shot, if you step outside your house, get hit by a car, if a piano falls on your head, it doesn't matter. So, you know, I think people really need to start looking at this. And if it can save a life, maybe it may not save mine. It may save somebody that's next to me. Why not do it?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So that's the thing with it. You could be passing it to somebody, and God forbid, you got to live with the fact that you may have given it to your parents or your grandparents because you refused to take the shot. Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving big bucks now, I hear, to take the shot. People winning all kinds of money and all kinds of things and getting all kind of season passes to the football game and all this kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw some raffles too. Raffles, lotteries, all kinds.
Yeah.
Somebody just became a millionaire.
In Ohio.
Wow.
They've been with some.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, what do y'all think about this this whole thing with the NFL and what they're talking about in regards to black men, football players, basically being dumb, was dumb before they started playing. They're not as smart as their counterparts.
You know, that is something that we knew most of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be in the city of the Randall Cunninghams and the Mike Vicks. It's never he has a mind for football. It's, oh, he's a great athlete. Oh, he's so fast. He's so quick on his feet. Basically,
mm-hmm.
it's been an unspoken thing that the NFL has adopted the philosophy that blacks are inferior to white intelligence.
Right.
Tom Brady, oh my God, he's brilliant. Peyton Manning, oh my God, he's brilliant. When it's a white quarterback, they're brilliant. When it's a black quarterback, oh my God, he's so big and strong and fast. You know, like pretty much it's the same thing they say about a horse. Same thing
mm-hmm.
they'll say
mm-hmm.
about a guard dog. Right? So it's the idea that a black retiree is going to get less support and monetary gains from concussions than his white counterpart because, oh, blacks ain't smart anyway, so it ain't so what, he got a concussion? Oh, it ain't too bright anyway. Basically, we're inferior. And the NFL finally, after so many years, came out and admitted something we already knew. So it's one thing to got a suspicion or you know it. It's another thing when they confirm it, even after the you know, Kaepernick, when he was right. And y'all look how y'all treated him. And then for y'all to come back around Roger Goodell and say, you know, we were wrong. So they want to do a lot of confessing, and I have a simple philosophy. For me personally, I will never, ever watch the NFL again. Ever.
Mm.
I don't care if my team wins Super Bowls until I'm 80. I will never, ever watch it again. The only way you can get me to come back is when you tell me that the good old boys club opened up the doors to black ownership. Then we can talk.
Well, black players, my thing is black players knew this, and they continue to, you know, get
rise
down
above
and
it.
Disrespect it, right, just so they can get money. We just now finding out about it. We always, you know, they knew it was going on, and, hey, somebody offering you $10 or $15 million, you don't care what they say about you. Right. So my question to you is, you know, it's kind of like not a surprise. I'm not surprised with the NFL, but how many other sports is like that? Right. Because historically we do black, you know, we do in every sport that you can think of, we do take over the sport and, you know, master it, to be honest with you, from tennis to golf. So with the NFL, the only reason they brought that part up is because of the, you know, that's been a topic of discussion, is because of the concussion situation. But honestly, what? How many other sports treat black athletes black athletes that way?
Well, technically, I'm still holding a grudge against MLB.
Well, that,
you know,
well,
I didn't forget the Negro League. I didn't forget the stuff. Yeah, they made some breakthroughs, but I still don't think that they made enough effort to be more inviting to our people. How many black sports owners, how many black team owners you know of?
Very few.
That's the solution. If you don't have a seat at the table, they can do whatever they want to you. That's the problem. If you don't have a seat, just imagine you are a football player. My son wanted to play for Temple. They were looking at him. Then he messed up his ankle, being stupid, right? And I trained him this since he started getting into football. Look, you're going to end up going to college. You're going to be on a video game and make not a nickel.
And that's
even a bum.
That's
on
right
the third. that's an issue that's being covered in the news. Now they just had a hearing on it. Right? So just imagine that you are going to work your butt off in high school, probably junior high school, make it to college. Your image is going to be used for somebody you never meet in your life to make millions off of, and then you're going to make it to the NFL just to find out that you're inferior to your white counterpart.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Black
leadership. There's no black ownership.
And I'll tell you something. I am an NFL, well, I'm a sports fan overall. College football, they have been. I got a little debate about that. I said, y'all may as well should pay them. I said, they're the main ones that be filling up them stadiums and arenas every year, and y'all don't give them a dime. They got a full ride scholarship. I said, no, they're the ones that are filling up them stadiums. Y'all should pay him like $500-$600 per game.
And think about this. That's the scholarship. And it's kids with a full ride scholarship that are starving. They're going to eat noodles and goddamn noodles. I know because I'm helping them with their English homework and their history papers. I live literally two blocks from Temple University now. So it's sad because they think the full ride is something. Of course you're going to give me a full ride. Why? Because I'm going to go perform to you. I'm going to perform for you on your behalf of your school. I'm going to put butts in seats and bodies and have people buy these tickets. It's a show. So the least you can do is pay for my college. But what about food and clothing? Can't wear the same draws the whole 4 to 8 years.
Well, if you ever watched that ESPN 30 for 30 documentary about the Fab Five, Jalen Rose talked about that. What they had endured years ago, and honestly, Michigan should have won a national championship. But NFL, wasn't surprising to me. It was not surprising when it came out because I said, y'all finally admitted something after, 30, 40-something years?
Yeah.
What you said about Kaepernick, I still said if my grandfather was real sick at the time. I was playing to sit during the national anthem because I said, I didn't care what the white people had to say. But I said he made his point, but Trump ran his mouth saying to get them black players off the field. And I said, wait a minute. I said, them NFL players are smart off the field now.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. So, I said, y'all stupid.
Yeah. I have no interest for someone and continue supporting any organization that's just getting around to admitting that they've been discriminatory and flat-out racist for all these years. And Roger Goodell, I can give two craps about him. To put him on the catapult and launch him to the shark-filled waters, as far as I'm done with him. You know, because he's kowtowed and bowed to the good old boys who run that, all the owners. Again, I mean, remember that movie Romeo Must Die?
With
Jet
Li
and Aaliyah?
A couple of weekends ago.
And I went on a couple other shows, sports shows I know, and I said, what do you think that movie was about? What was Delroy Lindau's whole purpose of that movie? Why he was committing all these atrocities and crimes to wipe out that whole section of the city? Because he says, I want a seat at the table for the NFL. I want my own football team. Make it happen.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, man, because this, how can it be so many of us and not one team that has a black-controlled company? We got
so
a couple of investors.
My point I was I was trying to make in regards to you know, even with black owners, we have allowed a lot of this stuff so we don't stick together. We have a lot of this racism, this Jim Crow stuff, and it's because we're starting to stand up, it's because we're starting to vote, because we're starting to be more vocal. And to be honest with you, with George Floyd and the way that happened, it opened up the door for people to just speak their truth. And I don't want to say too little too late, but we should have, before George, maybe if we had a stuck together and come together on some things. Hell, back when Rodney King got beat up and damn near died. But maybe by now this generation, our generation of kids and stuff like that would be a whole lot better off. You know, it's just we have allowed a lot of stuff to go on for too long, you know.
Yeah, because we got microwave activism. It, you know, last year we saw glimpses and little hints of the Black Lives Matter, and people did come together. People marched all over the country. I've said it on this show and others, there ain't no we. But lately, we had moments of we. We had it when it came time to put Barack Obama in office. We had it when it came time to do what we did last year. And we had it for George Floyd, and we had it again for this last serious election to get Trump out of there. It's too emotional. We do it based off of emotions instead of doing it because it's right.
Right.
We had a Trayvon.
True.
Right? Yeah. How many kids need to die, or black men need to die, and women? Right? Come on. How does somebody die in the back of a squad car? How do they shoot themselves with a cup?
They make
what more do y'all
want to
take?
Philando Castro.
You know, it's.
You would have thought after what happened to him, George Floyd should have never happened.
But
same city.
But Michelle, they don't learn their lesson. That's the problem. They don't learn. They don't care. And let me,
you're right. But the thing is, we not our foundation, our existence is not based off, should not be based off of what. White people talk about us and how we are and all this kind of thing. Look at what happened years ago in the 60s out there in, Oklahoma. What was it? Black Hollywood. Black Wall Street.
Black Wall Street.
The documentary on that. Yeah. You know, we should have never, back then, before you, all of us that was born on this call tonight, on the air tonight, white people, anytime that we come together, they wiped out all those black people, and we did nothing about it. We did nothing about it. Here it is 100 years later, and we're just now acknowledging that even happened. Stuff like that, our ancestors. You got black people who don't even vote. You got black people that deny. I've had conversations with black people who deny that slavery ever happened. It didn't happen like it said it did. Like it said it did. It didn't happen that way. And so on and so forth. Because it's too painful to admit that it happened,
well,
you know.
Chris
Cuomo, somebody on who was it? Chris Cuomo and somebody else said people died so that we could vote, and nobody seems to care about that. It used to be a time I was telling my nieces. It used to be a time like she didn't understand. She don't believe that it's like they show it in history when you look it up or whatever that black people couldn't use the restroom or go into restaurants, colored people only. She didn't think that was
mm-hmm.
fake. She didn't understand that, you know. And in my family,
mm-hmm.
we talk about that. My ancestors, my great grandma. I'm only the fourth generation from my grandmother picking cotton. You know, so they just it's too like anything else is too painful to admit. And I think that's part of the reason why. We've chosen to be with other nationality partners. It's too painful. I don't want my kids to be a part of that history. You know, I don't want my kids to be looked at any kind of way because they're dark complexed or whatever the case may be, or got quote unquote bad hair. It's too painful, and you have a lot of black people. So I can go on and on and on. We can say what we want to say in regards to white people and how they did us, but two things is happening now. It is too painful to admit that happened to our ancestors. And because of that, you know, we have allowed too much stuff to happen throughout the year. And now you want to be mad. And now you want to, you know, do something about it. As a people, we don't stick together. We never have. And,
well, yeah,
you know,
we talked about that on our show when we did the show about Willie Lynch. We talked about that. That was the whole concept. You don't have to do it to them. You teach them how to do it to themselves. Self-hate, fear, ignorance. Ignorance. To anybody who's worried about it being too painful, I'm so grateful that I don't come across those people often. I don't suffer those kind of foolishness. Go ahead, Pastor.
I'm sorry, brother. I can't. No. I just wanted to add to that, and if I can be Dante for a second, okay? Let's put the pastor to the side.
Yes, sir.
We are our own worst.
Nice
we are
you.
Our own worst enemies. Nice
yeah.
to meet you too.
Yeah.
We are
yeah.
our own worst enemies. We mm-hmm. hate to see each other grow. We hate to see each
yep.
other make it. We're too busy trying to take from one another. We're too busy
yep.
trying to stop one from getting what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
I see it
mm-hmm.
every day. And
yep.
you know what? The one place that I've seen it that hurts my heart is I've seen it in the church.
I knew you were going to
say
that.
And when you think about it, in some churches it's dog eat dog, and when I say church,
mm-hmm.
I mean in some religious denominations, it's dog eat dog. You have pastors that's fighting each other for positions when God
yeah.
gave it all. And
mm-hmm.
you have people who are on the outside looking in, saying, "Why should I be a part of this when it's easy to go out here in the world? At least I know that they hate me for sure out here in the
mm-hmm.
world, and coming here and be dealing with all this fake mess, which is why the
yeah.
churches are declining. We as black people, we really have to get away from." You know, we march and we outcry when a police killer, an unarmed black man or a black woman, but we have not said nothing about the many, many people and children and young people that's dying in Chicago.
Right.
We don't say
mm-hmm.
nothing about
yeah.
black on
Can
black
Can I
crime.
Add something to this? Can I add something to this?
Yes, sir.
I recently wrote on my Facebook page a few weeks ago that I said, if Black Lives Matter, we need to stop, first of all, stop shooting and killing each other first. It, Pastor Dante, you're right. It's not just Chicago. It's here in my city of Dayton. It's there all across this country. My biggest pet peeve, I said, and this is, I'll take a shot. Reverend Al Sharpton, forgive me. He comes out when it comes about unarmed, like you said, unarmed Black people get shot by the police. But he never says not one word about Black on Black crime on national TV.
No,
not true.
And not one time.
Not true. No, Darius.
I've seen it.
Mm-mm, that is not true. I've literally seen him televised here in Philly, because remember Philly is we're right behind Chicago. We're almost at 300 homicides this year. We have a 60% we have a 40% close rate. That means if you decide that you want to go take somebody out today, you got a 40% chance of getting caught. 60% chance of getting away with it. Mm. I know the president of National Anthem Network. I watched him on Channel 3, Channel CBS. He comes down here. He's a part of the URD family. I'm a part of the WURD family. I know that is not true. I understand you haven't seen it, but because he gets a bum rap for that. Oh, he only comes out for the big. That's not true. That is not true.
But the thing is, if you look at the top cities with the worst crime, all the cities you probably mentioned is probably up there, because it it's just like the churches just is bad, and I'm a Sunday school teacher. I observe it, and I said it's pitiful, and it's sad that you have to. It's sad when I had the youngest person I went with, my classmates. Daughter passed away of health reason. She was only 14 years old. I went to view her body. I said, that was too young. And then months later, her son got killed in Atlanta. I'm like, what in the world is this?
So do you think that my thoughts on that is other nationalities, do you think that they know, well, of course they do. They know that the conversations I have is with other nationalities. They have feelings towards the fact that we hate each other so much. One of my white friends asked me last year, Michelle, why do Black people hate each other so much? And we had a long conversation sitting up there in front of some drinks. And I just broke it down to her. I just said, she said, I don't understand. Y'all are beautiful people. She said, she's one of the white friends that got, two or three Black friends, and they had odds with each other, the women. And she says, white women, can I be frank with you? I said, sure. White women, we get mad at each other. And from time to time, we might say, something crazy to each other, but we don't hate each other like that. Is it me? Am I observing something that different? And maybe I'm looking at it differently, and so on and so forth. And I said, we just do it. She said, I stopped because of that. She said, this is a white friend of mine. She said, I think that it's embarrassing I'm embarrassed for Black women to be on TV acting the way they do on the reality show. So I stopped watching it.
Yeah, they get paid to act like
you're
that.
You're absolutely right.
Right. You know,
she's an attorney.
Yeah, and it's funny because I see it. You know what these white people crack me up with that? Yes, there are Black people that hate other Black people, but that's still a small minority. When are they going to start talking about the Karens that hate on other Karens? When are they going to talk about the white women who show up to other white women with look at Marjorie Greene. Look how she treats Democratic white women. So,
but
our stuff
typically You're right.
Historically, typically the white race has wiped themselves out over and over because they love stuff. They love things. But here in America, when you adopt that Eurocentric mentality, of course it looks like we're the worst thing. That's the Jedi mind trick they play on us. Because guess what? There are white men killing each other in their communities more than us. Why?
Yeah,
because it's more them than us. That is a fact. But we get caught up with this whole idea that, oh, we're just terrible. Yes, all races got people in it that hate each other because that's just the condition of man. That's the sick mentality in men. I wish a white person would come ask me that. I'd tear their asses up. Dante's off the phone now, so I can cuss now. I would tear their asses up. Come on with it. I dare you. Because I'm going to ask you, explain to me why do y'all crackers kill each other like it ain't nothing. Kids in refrigerators. Look at Jared.
Murder,
pedophilia, the worst. And I'm not talking about one or two. I'm not talking about that creepy black uncle nobody fuck with. I'm talking about them white boys be having 10, 15 girls under the belt.
Okay, but
boys,
that's different than the conversation we had. The point is black women.
Yeah, I know.
We were talking about black women, and then the perception is the way that we act was all out, not just celebrities, all out in the street fighting each other. You know, this one girl got shot by the cop because she running out the house to stab another girl with a knife. You know, that is more prevalent. That's how we act. And she's not coming. She's asking me, is it me? Am I seeing something that's not there? And if that is what it is, then how come? Why, you know, and she gave a couple of scenarios in regards to the circle of people that she deal with. I'm sure there's other nationalities. And I know she knows that there's other nationalities that kill each other and all that kind of thing. But in regards to black, it was a topic that she brought up in regards to black women. It is Asian women. White women can see the hatred for each other, black women have for each other.
Yeah. But you know what, though? And that's a racist mentality all in itself, especially when the Jews weren't even considered white until about a good 60, 70 years ago, when y'all were beating the shit out of them and killing them and attacking them. When you brought the Irish over, what do you do to the Irish? Beat the shit out of them, attack them, and kill them. You brought the Italians over. What do you think? Guinea tea, right? You know what a guinea tea is? A wife beater. Where did the term wife beater come from? That is what the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants called the Italians, because they said that's all you do is get drunk and beat your wife. You're nothing but a guinea-wop without papers. You snuck over here. You wear your little wife beater, and that's all you're good for. They have a history of hating them. I wish a white person would be bold enough to approach me that way, because I am a historian. I'll be happy to show them since the dawn of their creation how they've done nothing for white whole civilizations.
That's not what this conversation was about. This wasn't a white person.
No, I get it. But see,
and from what she has observed, is this what she's observed with black women, how we interact with, is that really how it is, basically? We didn't go into the whole
I get
thing,
it.
And
I understand that
she understood.
No, I get it.
History and so on and so forth. And I didn't deny it. I didn't sit up there and say, girl, let me tell you, we really love each other and we don't fight. What you see is fake and we don't hate on each other. That's fake. I kept it real with her. It's the goddamn truth.
I get it.
The next conversation we have, we're going to talk about Asian women and how they are, or Hispanic women and how they are, so on and so forth. Maybe that's a difference. But at that time, that conversation was, and that was all we, that was, you know, it was not that long of a conversation. We changed the subject. So you're not tripping.
Yeah.
Yes, we do hate each other. And I know that we could be talking about other women's nationalities that hate each other. But what you're seeing is true. That was the basis of the conversation. We wasn't trying to have a history lesson. You know.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. When these Karens are coming and they are observing things because they live in these small little pockets, because guess what? For every piece of hate, I can give you 10 examples of sisterhood. Of course there's some goofy-ass black people in our community. We have to do better at defending our people. Do we need to do some house cleaning? Sure do. Load that catapult up. Every goofy black person who's destroying the community need to be thrown out. F them. Get them out of here. You shooting up the hood, you selling dope in the hood, you fighting on camera, put them on a boat, launch them off the edge of that shit. I'm done with them. I'm tired of funerals.
Yeah,
I'm tired of hearing about
that's
people
not
dying.
Reality. That's never going to happen.
Yeah,
that's not
I get
reality.
It,
that's
but the bottom
happen.
Line is,
we need to,
should
we black women, we need to get our shit together. We need to get our shit together.
Our whole race need to get our shit together.
People, the way that we are treating each other and how we move, making moves through society, it's not a good look. It never has been. And
yeah, but again, we have to recognize, though, but that's still a small pocket of us. It ain't all of us. It ain't even a majority of us.
That's not.
It's a small pocket.
We're not talking about the numbers on that. We're just talking about the broad statement. We need to knock it off.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We got about 3 minutes. The Senate passed, Congress passed the Juneteenth federal holiday a few hours before the show started. So the Republicans, there were double digits of Republicans that said no, but more Republicans said yes. So they finally came together on something. And I'm sure that's due to public pressure. What y'all think about that?
That's good news.
Very good news. Because we were going after our own mayor for not making it a city holiday. I joined a few political action teams myself lately. And yeah, we were going to tear his little ass out of there because he did it for last year but didn't want to do it this year. And that ain't cool. That don't fly. And Philadelphia is about to be the capital for Juneteenth. So we definitely need that. Definitely need that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But okay. All right, lady, take us home.
Well, shoot. HubNet Online Radio, we are here. We're going on year number, come August, year number 4 of having this network. So we're going to have a big time celebration. I don't know what me and Hakim's going to put together. Talk to Darius, get his feedback. We want to thank all the listeners that listen to us all over these here in the United States and the world. And we appreciate all of your inboxes and suggestions in regards to shows and so on and so forth. So stay tuned. We're going to keep on rocking HubNet Online Radio, Shoebox Talk, and the Jubilee Affair that the Pastor Dante that airs on Sundays. Tune in. That's actual church.
Yeah,
there's Detroit.
Yeah.
Say again.
Good. No, I was going to say, it's not the Jubilee Affair. It's the Fuse Memorial Church Service. Jubilee Affair should be back after everything opens up. We'll be back with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's all I have. Tune in next Wednesday.
All right,
Yeah, I got
Darius,
one
quick.
Announcement.
You got like 10 seconds.
My birthday is Sunday, and I'll be 36.
All right, young
God
man.
Damn.
All right.
I'm ordering a bunch of big booty girls to come over there and rub their feet in your face for your birthday. All right, man.
All right.
All right, good night,
guys. All right, guys. Listen, if you, anyone looking for work, Zuri Inc., Z. Don't kill me. What's the spelling, Michelle? Spell out the website.
URIINC.com. Apply for work. Work from home, be your own boss.
Yep. Customer service jobs, inbound calling. We'll take care of you. All right, everyone. Have a great week. See you next week.
All right. Good night.